NPR.
One of the biggest economic stories of 2019 was Venezuela. The year started out with widespread blackouts, there was crippling inflation, attempted political coups, food shortages, and one of the worst humanitarian crises in the world. Venezuela has not been getting as much attention lately. News out of Venezuela has died down a little bit. But we checked back in with Gabriela Sade. She is an economist in Venezuela from Caracas, and we spoke with her at the height of the crisis last year. And according to her, things are looking up in Venezuela a little bit. And the reason, she says, has everything to do with how Venezuelans themselves have responded to this crisis. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Today on the show, how Venezuelans responded to their economy and country collapsing around them, and how they made some changes and innovations that have actually helped the situation. Now, Gabriela, you have been tracking economic indicators in Venezuela since the economic crisis began around 2014. Thank you, by the way, for joining us.
Thank you.
You're here in New York.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I brought you something from Venezuela.
Yes, please. I'm very excited. I saw you had a gift bag.
Well, yeah.
So with a snowman on it.
You can open it. Oh. Christmas.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, this is like a, it's like a purse?
Uh-huh.
Is this made out of Venezuelan money?
Yes. It's made out of bolívares.
Wow. It's beautiful. It's like woven.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you can see them around the city. And people do that because since bolívares are worthless, now they are making like art out of it. So you can purchase it. I paid like $3 for that.
This has to have, how many bills do you think this has? Like hundreds?
Yes, I asked the guy. He didn't know exactly the number, but he told me it was above 100. That doesn't, I mean, you need like 40,000 bolívares to purchase $1. So Yeah, this wouldn't even, worth $1.
I mean, this is the money you grew up with, I imagine.
Yeah.
How does it feel to see like hundreds and hundreds of dollars mm-hmm. like woven into a purse?
Of bolívares.
Of bolívares, sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm an economist, so for me it's, I mean, on one hand it's interesting, but on the other hand it's like, I mean, you can see how bad the situation is, and so I see much more than just bolívares, you know? I think about the people that, yeah, how desperate you must be, but also like how creative Venezuelans are, because who would have thought that you could do, you know, that you could make this out of bolívares?
Gabriela says a lot of people have started making crafts and art out of bolívares, maybe the ultimate indicator of so-called hyperinflation. So inflation is when prices go up. There is inflation in a healthy economy. In the U.S., inflation is around 2% a year. Hyperinflation is what is happening in Venezuela. That is when prices start rising and rising out of control. Hyperinflation reached almost inconceivable levels in Venezuela in 2019.
In March, hyperinflation was around 1 million percent.
1,000,000% inflation. So that means if something cost a dollar at the beginning of the year, it would cost around $10,000 by the end of the year. But Gabriel says later in 2019, the inflation situation did calm down.
And now the year ended and the inflation is 15,000%.
That's much better.
Like that. Yes. But still, I mean, that's still a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah.
It's still a lot. And I mean, according to some estimates, we won't have hyperinflation next year. I mean, well, this year, sorry, 2020.
Yeah. Why? How did that happen?
So, yeah, it's basically now we have more dollars circulating in the economy than
like more U.S. dollars.
Oh. Yes, we have $2.7 billion in the economy now.
Oh.
Yeah. So we have a dollarization de facto now in Venezuela. More than half of the transactions that occur in Venezuela are in U.S. dollars.
Oh, wow.
Yes. It was funny because before you wouldn't even think of paying in dollars, like showing your dollars to someone, because it was even illegal to carry U.S. dollars with you. But now that's
so it was risky to show someone a dollar.
Yes. So now, like, I would go to a grocery store and I would pay with my dollars, and it wasn't a problem. They even had change, even coins sometimes.
Really?
Yes. Like quarters, they would have them.
All those U.S. dollars helped stabilize the Venezuelan economy. There was a way to pay for things again. Stores could have stable prices. Gabriela says that has been a game changer for Venezuela. Even Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro, who has consistently railed against the U.S. and the U.S. dollar, said all the dollars circulating in Venezuela were a great thing. He said it in a televised speech. He actually said, thank God for dollarization.
Gracias a Dios existe.
Gabriela says when he said that, she could not believe it. And also, all of those U.S. dollars circulating in the economy has also led to another innovation, which is helping to address Venezuela's ongoing food shortage. More on that after the break.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Salesforce, a customer relationship management solution committed to helping you deliver the personalized experiences that customers want. Salesforce, bringing companies and customers together. Visit salesforce.com/learn more.
Support also comes from Navigator. Say goodbye to meetings that waste time and hello to meetings your team will love. Navigator pairs beautiful agendas with automations for the busy work most leaders don't have time for. Try for free at navigator.com.
So you might remember in the beginning of 2019, Venezuela experienced massive food shortages. So as the economic crisis in the country worsened, local farms failed, factories closed, foreign companies left, and Venezuela was not making enough food to sustain its population. Also, Venezuela was not big on importing. The country had really, really high tariffs in place. And that, coupled with U.S. sanctions forbidding most trade with Venezuela and the crazy hyperinflation, meant store shelves were often bare. Gabriela says she could see everyone getting skinnier and skinnier. After all, a carton of milk would cost more than most people earned in a month. And even if you had that money, a lot of stores would not have any milk to sell. But that, says Gabriela, has changed. And that's thanks to another thing that happened in 2019, the rise of the bodega.
Suddenly you start seeing all these stores, we call them bodegones, where you can see all these imported goods from the U.S.,
it's like what kind of things?
We call them mini Costcos. Like, they have Nutellas that they bring.
Nutella?
Well,
it's good to have the basics.
Yeah, of course. Cereal, milk, pancakes, mix. I mean, yeah, all sort of things. And you start to see them, you know, for example, I would take my car to this place to get it fixed, and they would have a bodegón there with all imported goods. Even like in a salon, in a beauty salon, they would have a little bodega
there.
You
can like buy some pancake mix.
Yeah.
And Nutella if you want.
Yes. So now, some people call Venezuela bodegonzuela, like as a joke.
So a few things happened that caused the rise of the bodega. First, Maduro basically stopped policing and taxing imports into the country. And also, the private sector found a loophole. Gabriela says the bodega owners she's talked to say they're getting most of their stuff from Florida. And that is because Venezuelan expats have set up businesses that buy things like Pringles and Oreos and Cocoa Pebbles and bread directly from places like Costco and Walmart in the U.S. and then ship them right to Venezuela. And as a result of the influx of imported food into the country and all of the competing bodegas, prices of food have dropped in Venezuela, in some cases in half. And food is now everywhere. Also, says Gabriela, the bodegas typically only take U.S. dollars or U.S. bank cards. And this means the stores mainly cater to wealthy Venezuelans, which is not most people. About 90% of Venezuelans live below the poverty line. A lot of people have just given up on the country entirely and fled. And Gabriela says that is the final change she noticed in 2019.
I have many friends in Venezuela, like most of my friends were there. Now I have more friends in Spain and the United States than in Venezuela. Like 90% of my friends easily have left the country.
Like everyone who could leave has left.
Yeah, exactly.
Gabriela herself left last year. She's currently living in Chicago, getting a degree in public policy. But most of her family is still in Caracas. They all had to spend the holidays apart. But she said that is the new normal for her Venezuelan friends and family.
Yeah, those are like Christmas for Venezuelans nowadays. Like you are just separated from your family. That's how it is. So we are learning to become a diaspora.
This year, Venezuela is expected to rival Syria as the country with the worst refugee crisis in the world. More than 6 million Venezuelans are expected to be living outside the country by the end of the year. This episode of The Indicator was produced by Darius Rafieyan. Our editor is Patty Hirsch. Our intern and fact checker is Brittany Cronin. And The Indicator is a production of NPR.